Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Good afternoon and welcome. Thursday afternoon, the weekend fast approaching. Man, those weekends bear down on us, don't they? You just keep trying to push them away so you get more days of our weekday lineup. I know, I'm just jiving you, but that's how it feels to me. 860-522-9842. I've got a bunch of stuff I want to talk to you about. You can talk to us about whatever you want. Just call in on that number, 860-522-9842, or on the rant line, ready and waiting, 860-751-4698. Now, I get accused of saying things that are over the top when I speak about how government works. And the fact is, I've never worked inside of the government. I have no firsthand knowledge of working inside the government. I've worked on campaigns back when I was young. It's been a long time. But I've worked on campaigns. I've you know, done all the stuff they do, going door to door and leaflet drops and organizing people to do that kind of activity and phone calls and all that stuff I did back in my young and restless days. But I haven't been a you know, one of the brain trusts. I haven't been a political consultant sitting there telling people what to say and what to do. I look at this from the outside, and I simply do the math. When I'm talking to you about what is going on with government, I'm just looking at it and saying what's obvious to me. Simple mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4. Well, that's how I evaluate what goes on in politics. Of course, I've been doing it for a long time, and I talk to a lot of people in politics, so I get my assumptions affirmed. But still, I know sometimes you doubt me, or some people do. I don't know why. I'm proven correct so often. But I'm just kidding. But I had a nice talk with Av Harris today, who was also on the show earlier today with George Cauley, who was filling in for Pastor Will. And George had Av on because, well, the same reason I have Av on every Friday now is because Av used to be, until a couple of months ago, he was with the Lamont administration. He was the head communications guy, the voice of the Department of Public Health. And the Department of Public Health, just to remind you, has elevated status right now because public health is what oversees the administration of the virus. So I had an interview that I did with Av today before the show started for my podcast that you can find on the website. It's called What Divides Us, and Av has been on the last 3 weeks. He's a regular now. It's a weekly podcast, and that has an extensive conversation that I recorded with Av today. But like I did yesterday with the little bit of conversation I played for you from Brent McCall and the prison thing, I'm taking an excerpt of that conversation that I had with Av Harris today to play for you because it confirms how politics works. This is an insider until a couple months ago who was fired from the Lamont administration from what I can gather, for doing something good. And this is him talking, maybe a little more frankly than we are accustomed to hearing somebody from inside the government talk. And I think it's a unique opportunity, so I wanted to let you listen to little segments of this so you could get a feeling. Now, this is Av Harris talking about he's upset about the decision that the governor made and announced earlier in the week about changing the framework of who's eligible next for a vaccine. And Av thinks it's ridiculous to walk away from the CDC guidance that's followed by every state besides Connecticut. And he says that it was done for political reasons. So I get in a conversation with Av. We're talking about the politics. And he's saying this was strictly political. And it's gross to me, he says. It's immoral for this kind of decision to be made for political gain. Av says the people will die because of the decision, and it was only made for political gain. That's inexcusable. So I say to Av at this point in the conversation, well, can you think of any other? Can you think of any other decisions? Do you think that's the only one that has been made by the Lamont administration that was made for political reasons regarding COVID? And this is where we pick up the conversation. You ready? Here we go. This is
Do you think that scenario is an unusual one? I mean, do you not think there were other public health decisions made during COVID that were?
There were plenty of public health decisions made during COVID in Connecticut that weren't necessarily because of public health. I saw it myself with my own eyes. Yes.
You want to give us an example?
Sure. Let me give you an example of the travel advisory and the requirement that those coming into Connecticut from other states self-quarantine for 14 days.
Now, you remember this. You remember how stupid it all was. How remember at one point there was this list of states that were red states that were bad ones to travel to. And if you came back from them, you had to quarantine. And then the list it became at one point that Connecticut was going to be more dangerous than the states it was banning. I mean, it was just the whole thing was unwieldy and ridiculous, and there was no way to enforce it. Because technically, if you drove to New Hampshire to buy some cheap cigarettes and then drove back, you were in violation and you were supposed to self-quarantine. Who was going to quarantine to 14 days to taking a ride up to a 14? No, it's ridiculous. To buy a pack of cigarettes to go to a gas station in New Hampshire?
If they're coming into Connecticut. It was never the strong position of any of the people who had knowledge of this, the epidemiologists and the public health people, that was a wise policy. They didn't want to do it. And the reason for that is...
I just want to be clear because I interrupted his flow. But what Av is saying is the scientists were sitting in the room with the governor's people. You've got Department of Public Health, epidemiologists, scientists, people who are public health professionals. And on the other side of the conversation, you've got the governor's people. And that's what Av is relaying to us. This conversation of the governor's people telling the public health people that they want to institute this quarantine if you step out of state.
The reason for that is, number one, it's completely unenforceable. And number two, the numbers do not show you that you are inherently at risk or at greater risk of catching COVID from being in any other state other than Connecticut. There was no science there backing up the policy. And I remember the discussion.
You hear that from the party that respects science? Remember, Av was right there working in the executive branch.
There was no science there backing up the policy. And I remember the discussion internally at the Department of Public Health between DPH and the governor's office. And the epidemiology people were pretty adamant and saying, if you make this decision, Lamont administration, don't put us out there to justify it, because this is not a public health-based decision. This is a political decision. And he did it. Lamont did it because he wanted to get in league with Cuomo and Governor Murphy in New Jersey and have a tri-state policy.
What was that? Let's hear that one again. Why did the governor make this decision, this ridiculous decision that caused people to, not very many people, but some, you know, four or five people got tickets, or maybe it was 40, I forget. They got citations for showing up at the airport. Remember, there were a group of workers, high-level workers at the Department of Public Health who had to go work at the airport when there was real stuff to do. Anyway, listen.
He wanted to get in league with Cuomo and Governor Murphy in New Jersey and have a tri-state policy. And if you remember at the time when they implemented this, it was in the summer, and the numbers were low and they looked good. So they wanted to get a dig in at other governors like DeSantis in Florida or Abbott in Texas, where the numbers were high because they were going through a surge at in their part of the country during the summer.
All right. So just to be clear about this moment, this is actually more insidious than what I say to you about how insidious the governor is and Democrats are and Republicans are and politics is in general. It is a dirty game. What Av is describing, again, Av Harris was the spokesman for the Lamont administration, Department of Public Health, from the beginning of the administration 2 years ago until 2 months ago. And what he's describing is a ridiculous policy put into place by Governor Lamont for the purpose of being able to play a national political, let's make the Republicans look bad game with Governors Cuomo of New York and Murphy of New Jersey. That's how I've always felt politics works. That's how I've always described it to you. And I just want you to hear that little affirmation of from an insider who's a committed Democrat. Av has worked inside of Connecticut political organizations and government organizations for 20 years or so, including Dan Malloy's administration before Ned Lamont and before that with Mayor Ganim in Bridgeport.
And Cuomo. And we had an inside joke in the Lamont.
I don't know what, let me back that up so you get
part of the country during the summer.
But who wanted to? Why would
Lamont?
And
Cuomo. And we had an inside joke in the Lamont administration, which was WWCD. What would Cuomo do? Anything Cuomo would do that Lamont wanted to do. And so
did you hear that?
This was a decision that was made
because a lot of people call in here and say, "Oh, Lamont only wants to do what Cuomo wants to do." WWCD was the expression inside the Capitol building in Hartford. What would Cuomo do? That's how Jolly Ned made decisions. Any thoughts on this? 860-522-9842. That's pretty outrageous, isn't it? Not a surprise, no. But there it is. It is confirmed. It is real. It is obvious. Yes. Quick break. We'll talk more coming up on WTIC. Yeah, good afternoon. There's spring in the air. It's awesome, isn't it? We've been through a depressing period of time, I think, with the virus, with the cold, with the storms, winter. I mean, it's just the political situation. It's been a depressing period of time. It's time to start sprouting new sprouts, new colors to come up, and new excitement in the air. Those are the things we have to aim for because the time of year for that, the springtime, is a-coming. 860-522-9842. We will play more of Av Harris because I think it's powerful to hear him describe how the thinking goes inside the Lamont administration. Stephen Winstead, hi.
Hi, Todd. I was thinking exactly the way you were. Whenever I heard an announcement by the governor or any of the other governors around the country, you could clearly hear they were doing an opposite polar sort of agreement with each other in that they were just going against anything Donald Trump did. And it comes through clearly with Av Harris.
I think it does, yes. And but think about, consider how little respect somebody like Governor Lamont has for the average voter when he stands up at a press conference and talks about how important it is for us to show a unified voice with the other states so that the policy is even, it applies, you know, across the borders and everybody understands what the dynamic is, when in fact his purpose is to scam you into thinking that he's doing a great job and the other governors up here are doing a great job compared to those evil Republicans down in Florida.
Agreed. And when the next person comes along to enter the race for governor, they have a lot to go with.
Well, that's true. They do. And this is only the beginning. You know, this is one of the things I think that's so exciting about what's happening to Cuomo in New York, to have truth coming out after the bull dung, after months of, you know, it's been like 9 months of him being glorified for being a bully similar to Donald Trump, who was harangued every day in the media. Cuomo was loved for that because he was a Democrat and his was good and his was lovable and he was just being nice. But in fact, he was doing ugly policy stuff and ugly personal treatment of people behind the scenes. And now he's getting his comeuppance. And I think that that's going to flow to other governors as reality sets in and maybe some truth comes out.
I have a good a sports analogy with the way it would go with Cuomo. And it goes right back to Howard Cosell when Frazier went down with the fight with Muhammad Ali, and he goes, "Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!" And it'll be the same way with Cuomo. Down goes Cuomo! Down goes Cuomo!
Well, I'm hoping for that same rant to go. I want the timber to be called for Ned Lamont, because this guy is as cynical as anybody. He's not in anyone's face. He wants to do it low-key and be lovable on the surface. But it's important for everyone to understand that lovable on the surface doesn't mean lovable in content. Thank you, Steve, for the call, 860-522-9842. More of Av Harris, who was the spokesman for the Department of Public Health until a couple of months ago, for the first 2 years of the Lamont administration.
Part of the country during the summer.
But who wanted to? Why would
Lamont?
Okay.
And Cuomo. And we had an inside joke in the Lamont administration, which was WWCD. What would Cuomo do?
What would Cuomo do
that Lamont wanted to do? And so this was a decision that was made because Lamont and Cuomo, and to some degree Murphy, they wanted to look tough. And they wanted to say, you see, we're doing a better job in our states of keeping the numbers low, and we are taking a shot at some of the other governors who, you know, had a different view of should you wear masks, should you do a mask mandate, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're taking a shot at you. You guys aren't doing as good a job as we are. And if anybody's coming into Connecticut from your states, they're going to have to self-quarantine for a couple of weeks. And what happened over the course of a few weeks and months as the state pursued that policy, if you look at the country map, we would update this once a week, the entire country went red because the level of transmission all over the country went red. So the scientists were correct.
Yeah.
There was no greater risk coming from other states.
All of a sudden it became a thing where the list you couldn't travel to was anywhere.
Right. And you could. And then in the beginning, we said, people said, well, what if we come in from Florida or North Carolina and can't we just get a test and get a negative test and then we don't have to quarantine for 14 days? And the answer was no, there's no testing option. And then what happened was the airport authority in Connecticut got pissed off because it was killing their business. And so they took to the media and said, we can set up a testing site right here at the airport and people can get a test when they come back. And because of a little bit of media pressure and political pressure, the governor caved to that and then said, okay, well, now you can get a test. And the whole thing was kind of a joke.
Kind of a joke, as so much of what you hear at the press conferences is, as so much of the policy decisions are, seat of the pants, no particular reason. And this conversation started off again because Av Harris was criticizing the decision just made to change the way the prioritizing of populations is being done for the COVID vaccine. So we're going to break for news, and then we're going to talk about why that decision was made, according to Av. Why is it that this change was made right now to go from sharing groups of priority and straight age groups of priority to a straight age thing, except for one group of people. Vaccine eligibility is now being determined by age group, except for one group of people. And it's not a big surprise what's going on and why that decision was made. But we'll get Av's explanation when we continue. 860-522-9842, the rant line, 751-4698. Stay tuned for news on WTIC. WTIC replaying. This is a, I've got a podcast here on the, at the radio station that, you know, gets distributed out in the podcast world. If you've never listened to a podcast, they're wonderful things. They are radio shows, not recorded for radio necessarily. They can be, but there's a distribution network, an automatic distribution online of these recordings. So if you subscribe to a podcast, your computer or your phone or whatever, the app on your phone, goes and looks for the podcast every so often and automatically pulls it down when a new one gets posted. So it's there on your device ready for you to listen to when you choose. It's a wonderful format. So my podcast is called What Divides Us, and Av Harris has joined me on that. And I recorded a conversation with him today. Av is the former Department of Public Health spokesman for the state of Connecticut and for the Lamont administration. So it's particularly exciting what you're going to hear right now as Av expands his description of what it is that drives Ned Lamont and how he's different, say, from Dan Malloy. Dan Malloy was a much loathed figure, you know better than I. I mean, I came into the state in his last year or so, and I got to see how snarly and unpleasant he was, how he was his own worst enemy. But I also got a sense of him as a competent guy with, of course, he was a Democrat, so his goals were wrong and his ways of achieving those goals, they were both wrong. But he was competent and cared about, he cared about his execution, from my perception. Ned Lamont isn't competent, has no experience running things, and thus has no experience to bring to this leadership post, and everything he does demonstrates his lack of any natural instinct. Some people don't need experience. Some people can walk into a job, even high-level ones, and just by their own intuitive sense of how to do it, they can do it. Example, Donald Trump, who knows power. And he knew when getting yourself in a position of power, it's important to be able to stand up to people and not be intimidated in order to achieve things. And Donald Trump achieved big things, despite popular opinion, that were good for the country. By the nature of his own fortitude. And I think Dan Malloy had some of that. Dan Malloy made a lot of enemies. He did it in a different way from Donald Trump. But mostly people hated Dan Malloy, who had contact with him or who watched him on TV. And that hurt him. That hurt him. Governor Lamont has this easy, pleasant, jolly exterior that creates a nice feeling for people that, oh, this guy's all right, I can trust him. And that's the key to politics in our country today, is that subliminal con. Can you make people, without them even realizing it's happening to them, slip into some level of comfort and trust with you for no good reason at all? Because the communication that takes place transcends rational thought and happens on a subliminal level. Anyway, back to the narrative here. This is Av Harris, former spokesman for the Department of Public Health, talking today with me, recording for the podcast, What Divides Us, about what drives Ned Lamont and what made him make the ridiculous decision, according to Av, this week of changing the way the state is selecting who's next for the vaccine, but also looking back at the travel ban and the purpose of that, which is ridiculous when you listen to Av describe it. Here we go.
So what is it that's so compelling to Ned Lamont? Do you know what his particular hangup is that he feels so macho if he and the couple of other governors can make a decision in unison? Do you know where that comes from? Is it getting in good with the National Party?
Maybe not so much the National Party, but it sure as heck got him up. It got him on CNN. It got him on MSNBC.
National talk shows,
and he loves that.
Yeah, he was on
that.
Face the Nation too.
Yeah, he loves the media exposure. This is an administration that is one that concentrates on what kind of headlines can I get? What's the spin? What's the story? That tends to drive policy. Instead of the Malloy administration, where...
Let me just back that up a little bit, because that was such an important little quote there.
One that concentrates on what kind of headlines can I get? That is...
Here we go.
One that concentrates on what kind of headlines can I get? What's the spin? What's the story? That tends to drive policy.
That drives policy. What kind of story can you get in the news drives policy. It's upside down, tail wagging dog.
One that concentrates on what kind of headlines can I get? What's the spin? What's the story? That tends to drive policy. Instead of the Malloy administration, where, listen, Dan Malloy had his faults. He was an in-your-face kind of pugnacious type of guy. And he was just...
But he knew what he was doing and cared about... Man.
Yeah, he was the insult hurler who forgot everything except the grudges. But he was a policy guy. He was a mayor for 14 years. He was a governing professional. And I know that that might be offensive for some people to hear, but there are people who are good at governing, and there are people who are not so good at governing. Now we have an administration driven by somebody who's basically obsessed with headlines and obsessed with press coverage and just wants to look good in the media. And that's what tends to drive policy. And that's why he does so many switcheroos. He did, how many switcheroos did he do on the tolls bill? I think there were four or five different versions of how we're going to have tolls or not have tolls in Connecticut. And the same thing happened with the travel advisory, because when you put it out there and then you water it down, you basically turned it into nothing. And there were three or four different versions of that. And now we've seen this happen in front of our very eyes with the vaccine distribution policy. And there was a lot of good reasoning for why they established the policy that they did at the beginning of vaccination in the middle of December. And we're only 6 weeks into this, and now we've basically thrown out the entire plan that we've developed and defended, and now we're just going to do it by age. That, to me, is a cover story, because what they're really doing is they're allowing teachers to bump the line.
Allowing teachers to bump the line. Av Harris is saying they changed the whole scheme of how to decide who's next for the vaccine in order to throw a bone to the teachers' unions. 860-522-9842. So these are all Av's opinions, ones that I share for the most part, about how politics works. Any surprises for you in it? Anything that doesn't make sense to you? Or the opposite, is it a revelation or a surprise, or is this nothing new? Did you know this all along? I find it delightful to have an insider talking like this, because it's not often that people tell the truth about what's going on, because, and I don't know why Av is doing it, except that his nature is to be pretty honest. He used to come on the show with me once a week. I don't know if you remember, until Ned came into office, and then Av took a job in the Lamont administration. So for a couple of years, he couldn't come on with us, but he used to come on, and I loved having him on, because he's a Democrat, he's a liberal, and yet he would be open in criticizing, as he's doing right now, things that he thought were inappropriate. This dynamic that he's referring to, this dynamic of Ned not caring one bit about how many people might die because of a policy change he makes. And I feel strongly that Connecticut residents will die who wouldn't have otherwise because of this policy shift regarding the vaccines. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. I think government tends to harm people when it makes decisions. And that's the nature of big power against individuals, which is why our system of government was designed to be one that limits the power of government and what it can do to us as individuals. Because it's our power piece by piece, but when you put all those bricks in the wall, it's a big, strong wall that no individual can fight. 860-522-9842. Let's take some phone calls. Bob in Enfield. Hi, Bob.
How are you? Listen, the JI yesterday had an article when Lamont announced how we're going into a new age in Connecticut. Things are getting better. 10,000 people moved in and 7,000 people moved out. The population's increasing. But he doesn't tell you in 2013 we lost 30,000 people, and that doesn't include, and it won't include on the census, that the 8,000 that have died not going to be in the census. So that's 8,000, that's 38,000 population. you know, I do demographics, and I got the statistics 2010 through each year. I graphed it. And we're going down the train. You know, they're using moving companies. But what happens, the poor people that come in the state, they use their own trucks.
So you're saying that the numbers aren't as bad for the state as they appear to be because the poor people who moved to Connecticut aren't being counted?
Well, there's still 38,000. That's going to be the effective number, but it doesn't include the people that are dead. You know, you can't go by moving van numbers, what I'm saying, because many people, majority of people, don't hire vans to move their furniture. A lot of times they come with just a suitcase.
Well, so I don't understand why you trust the numbers that you're giving us.
Because it's been done by the state of Connecticut, the estimate.
Oh, those are not moving van numbers. Those are – how does the state of Connecticut get the numbers then, do you know? Is that by census? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they do an estimate. The estimate numbers in 2010 were 99.9% correct. Compared with the census numbers. But the Census Bureau announced they're not going to include the people that died in 2020 because it's going to be February 1st, 2020 numbers. Yep. That's going to be the official census.
All right, so your conclusion is that things are bad in the state.
Yes, absolutely. And he tried to put a rose and a boat in it. And a bow on top of a gift box with them.
That's what Sarah Palin called lipstick on a pig, right?
Yep, that's what he's doing. He's putting lipstick on a pig.
Bob, thank you for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. So Av Harris says that Ned Lamont is making bad decisions because what guides his decision-making is what kind of news coverage he will get. And maybe that's what, when people complain about the news coverage that Ned Lamont does get, maybe the thing that makes the news media perhaps bend to his will without his will really being asserted is their sense of how gleeful he gets over good coverage and maybe behind the scenes the abuse they take for truthful coverage. Bad coverage. Those last two would be the same thing. What do you think about that? 860-522-9842. We will pause briefly and then take your phone call on WTIC. Oh, this is fun stuff, getting the truth out about Jolly Ned, about the state of the state. So Av Harris says that Ned's decision-making is driven by issues other than the efficacy of the decisions that he makes. That's a pretty heavy thing to lay on a governor, but I think it's clearly true. Is this Steve from NBC Haddam?
Todd Feinberg, News Talk 1080.
That's him. That's Jolly Max, I think.
Yes, calling you from the underserved community of Haddam, where we don't have a police department, we have a volunteer fire department, we don't have garbage pickup, but it's beautiful here.
But how are you able to make a phone call, considering that you're in an underserved community?
I have Wi-Fi. I'm lucky. We don't have too much cell service out here either. Av Harris better get a food taster after that interview.
Yeah, really?
It's a private security, I think.
Yes, he does. He does need somebody to watch his back. Are you volunteering for the gig?
No. But I know from being involved. I mean, I was on the board of selectmen in my town years ago, and it's amazing. I know when you first started out the show, you said that you've never been involved in politics as an elected official.
Right, or as an employee of a government. I haven't done that.
Right.
My politics was for people running for office, not for working for a government.
Right. Well, when I was on the board of selectmen, you know, coming from being a small business owner to working in government, it's 180 degrees out of phase. You know, if I need something for my business, I call 1-800-FEDEX. It's delivered tomorrow. If we need something for the town, we got to put out 3 bids. We have to get a blue ribbon commission. We got to run it through all these committees. It takes forever. And maybe that's a good thing.
I don't know. It's designed to protect people, but it creates a situation where you have a neutered ability to actually make change happen and to do things. And maybe that's good, too. But if there is a moment where you need leadership, it makes it much harder for the leadership to assert itself.
Well, we could see what King Ned is doing with his executive orders by bypassing that, the way of doing things, and look at the tyranny that it has given us all. By the way, is King Ned coming up at 4:00 today?
No, thank you for asking. Ned is not doing his press conference today, so we get to keep talking.
He's probably worn out from his Waterbury appearance today.
Yes, he was there this morning, and he's got, he did a press conference on Monday, and that was probably exhausting. He's likely worn out.
What am I going to do for material? I'm going to have to go deep in the archives. Thanks, Todd.
There you go. Thanks, Steve. Talk to you. Well, we'll listen to you this afternoon. Steve does he creates for us the King Ned's Comedy Club bits that we play during the Rant Line Hour. Bill West Hartford. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing, Todd? You know, one of the things is that gentleman brought up the data on the state and stating that he
departures
had the numbers. Well, Axiom has all of our driver's licenses. The data broker, they changed their name to LiveRamp. The reason they know so much about us is their partners include Visa, MasterCard, the state of Connecticut, banks, Facebook, Google. You can find this
online.
Okay,
what's the information they have that's interesting?
Partners.
And what's good about it?
What's good about it is this is behind all of our tracking. You know, those little that state tracking app that they put out? That's just to track where you're at to throw into a data broker's database.
Yep. For the contact tracing,
tracing in its practicality never worked. It never has. But knowing where you're at, who you shop with, who you know, and who's in your contacts on your phone is all important to the data brokers.
Right. So you're saying people who use the state of Connecticut COVID apps are making a mistake because their data is being shared with the world?
Well, it's being shared with the Democratic Party, if you understand how this all works. King Ned there, he's a data king. Him and all the other governors from the blue states know a lot more about what color underwear your wife wears than the rest of the governors.
Bill, thank you so much.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.